Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for January 9th, 2009. This week, we'll tell you why teens from poorer neighborhoods are more likely to become obese, and how scientists are trying to fight malaria by making people toxic to mosquitoes. And we'll give you another reason to get enough sleep at night. But first, Suzanne found out why pain hurts more when we really mean it.
In 2004, prisoner abuse in Baghdad's Abu Ghraib prison shocked the world. The international scandal sparked a question in Harvard grad student Kurt Gray's mind. Does pain hurt more if the person who inflicts it really means it, rather than if it's accidental? He worked with social psychologist Daniel Wegner to devise an experiment to test this hypothesis. They paired people up and let them choose whether their partner would receive an uncomfortable shock or a painless stimulus. And when the first person signaled the intention to give a shock, the second person received the shock. But if the first wanted to give the painless stimulus, the second received a shock anyway. Gray says when shocked seemingly by accident, the participants got used to the pain quickly and it hurt less.
People in the unintentional condition habituated to the pain. So the more shocks they got, the less they perceived those shocks to be painful. On the other hand, those in the intentional condition felt the fresh sting of the first shock every time.
He says it makes sense for intentional pain to feel like it hurts more than unintentional pain because it motivates us to get out of the way of a potentially dangerous threat.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, a look at teenage health. These days, low-income teens face big obstacles to maintaining a healthy weight, according to a new policy brief from the University of California at Los Angeles. Health policy researcher Susan Babbie says that California teens from low-income households have nearly triple the obesity rate of their more affluent peers. But she and her colleagues offer several remedies. One is to pass zoning laws that limit the number of fast food restaurants in poorer neighborhoods.
But also incentives to encourage healthier food options, grocery stores, smaller produce vendors to come into areas where those types of stores are not as prevalent.
She also says investing in phys ed and after-school sports programs would help decrease the risk, as well as encouraging families to eat dinner together, which is shown to promote healthy eating. Next, our New York reporter Justin Warner looked into a new attempt to prevent malaria by making our blood toxic.
Vaccines can protect people from insect-borne diseases like malaria, but you can't vaccinate everyone. That's why scientists are considering drugs called endectocides, which make human blood temporarily toxic to disease-carrying insects. Such drugs could potentially benefit an entire population, including those people who never receive them. In Senegal, Colorado State University molecular biologist Brian Foy and his colleague Masamba Sila are studying a drug that's widely used to kill a parasitic worm that causes a disease called river blindness. Evidence suggests it may also have endectocidal potential against malaria-carrying mosquitoes.
If simultaneously it's killing the mosquitoes that are biting them that are also transmitting malaria, then you have a dual-purpose drug, basically something that can not only take care of the parasites in your body, but also prevent parasites from being transmitted around the community.
Of course, there are other ways to kill mosquitoes, for example, by using chemical pesticides or draining wetlands. But Foy says such indiscriminate killing is not only ecologically costly, it's also unnecessary. For one thing, only adult female mosquitoes bite. What's more, mosquitoes don't develop malaria on their own. They just carry it from one person to another. And there's a 10 to 14 day window between the time when a mosquito first acquires the parasite from an infected person and the time it's capable of transmitting that parasite to others.
So within that 10 to 14 days, the mosquito will take many more blood meals, maybe four or five blood meals. And you could end the mosquito's life prematurely before the parasites fully develop into her salivary glands so that she could eventually transmit the parasite.
The key, then, is figuring out when to give out the endectocide. The drug Foy's team is studying, for example, clears the body in about a week. Possible options include inoculating a community at the first sign of an outbreak or setting up a carefully orchestrated regular schedule.
Thanks, Justin. In our final health story today, many of us struggle to get enough sleep at night. But Suzanne investigates one more reason that getting enough shut-eye could save your life.
Did you know that not getting enough sleep could damage your heart? Turns out, the buildup of calcified plaques in the coronary arteries strongly predicts a person's likelihood of later developing coronary heart disease.
It has been shown to strongly predict subsequent heart disease events.
That's University of Chicago epidemiologist Diane Lauderdale. she and her colleagues measured coronary artery calcification in nearly 500 middle-aged people over 5 years. They also looked at how much sleep these people were getting.
We found that longer sleep durations were associated with lower incidence of coronary artery calcification. So for the people who had average measured sleep less than 5 hours, so the short sleepers, about 27% developed coronary artery calcification. For the people with close to the average amount, 5 to 7 hours of measured sleep, 11% developed coronary artery calcification. And for the people with longer sleep, 7 hours or more, only 6% developed coronary artery calcification. So there was like a stepwise pattern between sleep duration and new coronary artery calcification.
Her team doesn't yet know why the longer sleepers fare better. But she does say that our blood pressure drops while we're sleeping, so people who sleep longer have a lower average blood pressure. Or the difference could be due to reduced inflammation or even an as-yet unidentified psychological factor. She adds that while the study is far from definitive, she recommends getting at least 6 hours a night for heart health.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, looking for signs of life on other planets and clothes that could save your life. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. You can find it at our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. Or, if you're on the run, you can listen to our daily podcast on your cell phone by calling 1-512-499-2149. That number again, 1-512-499-2149. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.